parents jealous or whatever else, but if I were to write a book on the perfect little girl and have her, I'd model it after Gracie for it. I just... Yeah. Well, I realize we're on her mom address now, but yeah. All right. If you would, turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. You know, some years ago, some friends of mine, the little boys had cowboy hats on, six guns with holsters, and they were in a Walmart with their mother. Now, those of us that are older, every little boy did that. You couldn't imagine a little boy not wearing, cowboy hat and six guns and holsters and that. Nowadays, if they do it, SWAT teams are called out. And mandatory counseling for the entire county and such and such. But, you know, she didn't think much about it. Even this for Dylan 20 years ago, she didn't think much about it. And this lady came up and said, "I am just so glad to see this." She goes, "I haven't seen this in years." But it has changed. Just what it is to be a child has changed. And really, some things are better, but some things are worse. Okay? It takes a little bit of discernment to know the difference in between. But I remember when my sisters, you know, would have books and be sitting under a tree and walking around and bumping into walls, reading books and such. So it's just, I love that, you know, watching, you know, the Montgomery kids going in and, "Pastor, can I take this book or that book?" We're seeing Gracie out swinging, reading a book. And so I love that. It's just, it's a good thing. It's something that ought to be. And if children are raised in peace in a home and such, those things can flourish. They can happen. And it's one of the things stolen from children today with the goofiness and the craziness that goes on at homes. But I want to read Jeremiah 29. And if you would go to verse 11, God is going to speak his motives. And they've been on my heart somewhat because they're really the motives I think God puts in every pastor for his people. And it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord," Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, that's some of the most peaceful things God could say. This is what I have to do. I have thoughts of peace. I really want nothing better than that your lives should be pleasant lives and brought out of the things that are your captive and that your life should be good. I was talking with missionary Joe Davis yesterday. He was driving into Wheeling, West Virginia, and he called me, and we had just a, I thought, a profitable talk. But he was talking about a phenomena that he has seen, and the two of us discussed it for a while, but the pastor he's going to see, a man he's known for a long time, apologized, and he said, "Well, Brother Joe, I can't be there to greet you when I get there tonight." He said, "I've been estranged from my son for a long time." Well, that's common, okay? Far too common. And he said, "My son and grandson invited me to go to a hockey game with them." And he said, "I know it's worldly, but I think I need to go."
That's right.
And Joe and I both agreed, no, that's not worldly.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You go with your son.
Yes, sir.
You go with your grandson. You go to that hockey game. You go to that thing and spend some time with him. I think of something the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, "You're not straitened in me." Say, straitened? What's that mean? Well, what are the Straits of Hormuz? A place where the seas become very narrow. Okay? I am in a strait, a narrow place. Okay? Paul said, "You're not straitened in me. I didn't make your life this narrow." He said, "You're straitened in your own bowels. Your feelings have done this to you." It's nothing I said. I didn't make you do this, okay? And Brother Davis and I just discussed this thing, and you know, for those who know me and my friends and such, it's a fairly common theme with me, but it's how many pastors are now living in a bubble, in a world where it's not like the rest of the world. And again, I don't want my people conforming to the world. God forbid you conform to the world. But it's like the Apostle Paul said. He said, you get too separated, you must needs go out of this world. Okay? And I'm not forced to go into outer space. We live in this world. And I don't want to embarrass Peter, but his brother gave one of the highest compliments. He told my boys, he says, you know, Peter still doesn't swear.
That's good.
Okay? If you know anything, you know, Dunham that came out of Sio there, first Medal of Honor winner in Iraq, out of Sio. A man out of the Wall Street Journal came to Sio and spent time there and wrote the man's story. And it can't be read in decent company. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
It cannot be read in decent company because it is so foul, the language. And the man wasn't trying to be foul, but he could not follow a Marine Corps unit in Iraq without quoting them how they speak. Okay. And again, do we want our young men not to go to the Marines? No, but I'm glad that Peter was able to go be with them and that his brother should observe. He still doesn't swear. I was glad of that. Happy of that. And again, I'm not trying to pick on Peter or embarrass him or anything like that, but I'd like to think that each of my people could have that testimony that you could go in amongst people of the world, that you could be around them, and that you could come out of there and not be conformed to this world,
okay?
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how does your mind get renewed? The Word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what renews your mind. The Word of God, having a relationship with the Word of God. And again, the Lord told Israel, my thoughts to you are their thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. If all that you serving Jesus Christ does is make you some narrow, bigoted person and afraid to get out there with other people and such, then I have failed as a pastor. God knows I've failed. I want you to be able to go out there and be separate amongst them. Somebody a little bit different. You know, I remember when, you know, and it's a shameful time in my life when I smoked dope and partied and such, and it's a shameful thing, but I remember having one or two friends who hung out with me who wouldn't smoke dope. And in the 70s, that was pretty shocking. You know, that, wow, look at this person. You know, they're not cool, but yet they're hanging out with us inside. And after a while, I remember having a respect for them, realizing, wow, they're not doing this. And even though I myself was a wretched person and living a wretched life, I had a respect for that person. One of the things I've taught my children is this, is when you go out there, and if you decide to live a separated life amongst them, that's why I sent my kids to public school, okay? Going out there in the public school, you know why? Because I've just watched so many of the homeschool kids and the Christian school kids get out there in the real world and just get blown to hell. They can't handle it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do. And you know what the difference is? I've learned this. Whether you homeschool them, whether you Christian school them, or whether you public school them, it's not the school, it's the home they come out of that makes the difference.
That's it.
That's where it's at. And if you have a home where your children come back to that home every day and there's thoughts of peace in that home and there's sense in that home and the Word of God is in that home and love is in that home and people, you know, my kids would bring their lessons and say, Dad, here's what we were taught in history today. Sam would get on Google and be trying to find, you know, ways that I'd tell them, well, look up this, look up that, Sam, and such. And Tim would be coming back and they would discuss these things and talk about them and such in our home so that they would have the strength to handle the horrible things that are said out there every day. School doesn't make the difference, the home makes the difference.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I talked to a pastor who had a Christian school for a long time, and I said, how are your students doing in your Christian school? He said, fine if I didn't have to send them home every day. Said, fine, if I didn't have to send them home every day, they'd be fine. All right? And but it's just that idea again. Where when your kids come home, what are they coming home to? I would like to think it's the thoughts. I would like to think that coming to the Black Creek Baptist Church, learning the Word of God, singing the hymns of grace, and it would make a difference in the home that you live in, and that your children absorb that difference and prefer that difference and want that difference, because that's what God wants. God didn't say, we're all Christians now, and you're going to have to walk like tin soldiers everywhere you go. And you know, I used to feel bad as kids, you know, it'd be our birthdays, and I was talking to John and Sharon. John's turning 65 tomorrow, and don't tell anybody, school, but the thing is, he's turning 65 tomorrow. To some of you, that's young. If you could be 65 again, you'd have to roll that odometer back a while. But the thing is, to other ones, that's quite an accomplishment to hit 65. But, you know, I remember when the people born in the 1950s were standing in lines in school, teachers, you know, your second grade teacher take you from this classroom to that classroom, that, and here we are now. My golly, we're the senior citizens. And what really went wrong that all the homes, all the families, were just so blown to pieces, and the peace was stripped out of homes, and this peace was stripped out of families? What happened? What went on? Can you correct those things? Can you make it different? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 2. Zane's our water boy. Brings water for his sister with Down syndrome. Brings me water here at the pulpit. He does a good job. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Apostle Paul said this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not just for those we think are Christian leaders, but all men. And I've said this over and over again. I did not vote for President Barack Obama. I didn't vote for him in the second election. I personally wish he'd run again so I could vote against him again. But he's my president, and I pray. What value is it to us that he make bad decisions? In other words, the very security of this nation, I'm not pleased with who it resides in. But it resides in him. It's where it is. And I'm told to pray for him. Why? So that we can have a peaceable life. Now, do you honestly think that I believe that we're going to have peace for 5 to 10 years in this country? I don't believe that. I honestly believe that men of God today need to be preparing their people for a time that we are a persecuted minority. For a time in which our views, and let me tell you another thing. Some of the top survivalists I know, Tom Brown out of New Jersey, you ought to teach your kids this stuff sometime. Tremendous survival skills. If a kid gets caught out in a blizzard at night, you teach him Tom Brown's books, you can find them in the morning, they'll be warm, they'll be fine. Teach them what to do. Go find a fir tree where the snow is bringing the fir down like that, climb in there, and take moss and take that kind of stuff and roll yourself up in it and such. And the kid will actually sweat during the night. You can teach him little things like that out in the woods and that, and know that your kids are safe if something like that happens. But the point is, I was reading behind a survival expert one time who was given a scenario. And they said this, when they're teaching people to go behind enemy lines and they tell them what weapons, and they say, what weapons would you bring? If the person brings a gun, they fire. You're behind enemy lines. You fire a gun, you're dead. You might take 100 of them out, but your mission isn't going to work. You're behind enemy lines. You brought a gun, you idiot. Okay? You fire that gun, it's done. It's over. It's gone. Okay? Suggested a knife strapped to the ankle.
something quiet like that. Why? It's common sense.
I have so many of my friends, and I mean personal friends. I have people I've won to the war that got all caught up in these militia movements. My church in Vermont, it's a shame to this day, the militia movement and stuff they got caught up in, and they're good people. They are. But I went there when there was no church in that town and carved out a people for Jesus Christ who serve the Lord to this day and bring their tithes and offerings to the house of God and have a King James Bible, but they burned their driver's licenses and social security cards and that stuff. And I just have to say to myself, what did you do wrong, John? What did you do wrong that they've gone and done this? Because let me tell you something. If armed conflict breaks out, you're not going to win with your little guns. You're not going to beat F-16s. You're not going to beat tanks. You're not going to beat the state troopers of Pennsylvania, New York, whatever. You're not going to beat them.
That's right.
And they aren't going to follow the government. Those days are gone. They're over. And I'm all for it. If some crook comes into your house and trying to mess your wife, that's fine. Old Spink Williams, mentor to my mentor, had a lady one time in his church down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and she had a peeping Tom. She just lost her husband recently. She had a peeping Tom, and they brought the police trying to find it. And old Spink brought her a gun and said, the next time those eyes appear there, they're already, they've already told the police, everybody knows. In fact, the chief of police used to come to his church. And he told her, he said, the next time those eyes are there, boom! She said, what if he's lost? Say, Jesus saves and blow him to hell. And, but keep it a widow safe that somebody's taken advantage of and such. I'm not against that. But the idea that we're going to go ahead and somehow win this country back. No, this country wasn't won with guns. It was secured with guns. It was won with the word of God.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
It was secured with guns, yes. When Washington looked at all those rights of men and said, we're going to fight the British with those rights. He didn't use freedom of speech. He didn't use freedom of religion. He shot them. And that's how he secured what we have. But that isn't what won what we have. It was won with the word of God. Why do you think that South America has revolutions every 3 years? Eastern Europe has revolutions every 3 years. Africa has revolutions every 3 years, and it never makes a difference. And that one time in this country, embattled farmers stood, and Major Pinnock said, disperse these rebels! And they stood. What forced them to stand on a bridge and fire that shot heard around the world? You know what? 100 years of the Word of God in their homes, 100 years of decent living, 100 years of knowing what their rights were and who they were, something that the world is starved of today and doesn't have it. And that's more important than any other thing that you can teach your children, is to teach them the Word of God and what their rights are. And we may have children that will die in concentration camps, but they can die free.
Well, they won't kick me.
Yes, they will. Can you fight even the Amity barracks of the state troopers? And God forbid you think you want to. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, be realistic. Just in the last week, I've had people tell me, well, they won't get me and my family. Yes, they will. If they decide they're going to take families like that, they're going to take. But you know what the difference is? Teach the word of God to your children. Teach the word of God in your home. And be peaceable unto all men. Don't be a threat to anyone. My mouth is the threat, not my hands. King David said this, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. My mouth is the threat. You know why Baptists believe in freedom and have always believed in freedom? Because we believe that if everybody, freedom of religion, go build a mosque. Doesn't bother me they want to build a mosque in New York City. If they bought the land, they have the right to do it. It's there. They bought it. Okay? Build a mosque. This is America. I believe in that because I believe that if everyone had a chance
and everybody could freely speak, we would prevail. We have the truth. We have the word of God. I don't have to pass a law against anybody what they say. Nobody. You know why they don't want freedom of speech? Because they believe we prevail. Mm-hmm. And so they have to pass laws. Shut us up in the schools, shut us up in public, shut us up here and there. And thank God we're still allowed in the house of God and in our own homes to believe the truth, to believe the word of God, to preach it, and to raise children and to raise families with the things of God. Mm-hmm. Avail yourself of that. And make your children able to go out there in a real world and interact with people in a real world, and to love people in a real world, and have respect for the people they meet out there in the real world, and to show that respect for those people. I am no fan of Southern culture. I spent 30 years down south, and I'm no fan of Southern culture. I think of Dick Gregory, who told a bunch of Northern businessmen, I spent 20 years in the South one night, But the thing is, one of the things I do like is I like that miss, mister, ma'am. I like it. My father raised us that way. Cattaraugus County, New York, but he raised us that way. Just gets all over me, you know. My kids say, Amy. No. It's either Miss Moore or Miss Amy, if you're in a more familiar. Okay? Miss. Okay? Ashley. No, it's Miss Ashley. Okay? If you notice, I address the children that way. Why? You have a respect to them. Have that. Teach them that respect. Teach them that. Teach them. Ingrain that in them. The respect of each and every person and what they can and what they should be. 1 Timothy 2 again. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Nero was the king when Paul wrote this. He's not a just man. He's not a good man. For all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's all God wants. It's for all men to be saved. Never been a man, never been a woman, never been a child ever that God looked down and said, oh, I don't want that one saved. That's right. But his way of doing that is to allow peace. But two major times in history, peace. One's called the Pax Romana. It's a time when Caesar Augustus was so strong. It's really during the days of Jesus Christ. There's 100 years. It's called the Pax Romana. All historians talk about it. No world wars. Little conflicts here and there. It's called the Pax Romana. And you know what? God used that for the church. You know what the other one calls? It's called the Pax Britannia. It goes from 1815, the Battle of Waterloo, to 1914, the beginning of World War I. You say, well, the Civil War took place. It wasn't an international war. Okay? The Crimean conflict, yeah, a little conflict there. But France, Germany, China, no, there were no world wars during that period of time. And never, never did the Word of God ever go forth like it did in that 99 years. It's called the Pax Britannia, the Peace of Britain. There's been people ask, are we living a Pax Americana? I don't think it'll last. Why? Because we've become too wounded. We just have. Now let me tell you something. How many of you, if you saw a man going down Main Street, missing his leg from his knee down, would discriminate against him? I would hope no one here would. Okay? How many of you, if you saw a person with his arm missing, would discriminate against him? What if you found out it was a wound? Would you discriminate that? No. Now let me tell you something. Would you then say, well, let's all live a lifestyle where we can all lose our legs and arms? Well, no. Well, is that discriminating against people who lost a leg and arm? No. We try to stop the lifestyle where people lose their legs and arms. Okay? We try to stop that lifestyle. And see, what the difference is today is the sexual wounds that our lifestyle has caused. Now everybody's trying to get us to all live that lifestyle. If there's a person sexually wounded, and you know that some of you that came in here, I can say with the Apostle Paul, such were some of you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're cleansed, now you're justified, okay? God's cleansed you from that stuff. And God knows, I don't discriminate against a single person, okay? I've had lesbian couples sitting on my pews. I've had people in open sodomy sitting in my pew. I treat them as polite, as tender, as I know how to treat them. They're wounded people. But I'm not going to endorse a lifestyle that wounds. I'm not going to endorse a lifestyle that hurts. It's a wound.
God didn't make people that way. Wounds make people that way. For every single man you can find me that has drifted into sodomy, you'll find somewhere where someone abused him as a child.
Someone introduced sexual things to him as a child. Okay? You'll find that over and over again. They're wounds, awful things. And you want to know what?
It's to my honor as a pastor to bring people like that and to work with them.
A lot of states now make that illegal. New Jersey, it's illegal.
That's right.
Okay? California, it's illegal. I can counsel them to be a sodomite, but I can't counsel them not to be. Okay? It's illegal. You know when it becomes illegal in the state of New York, you know what I'll do? I'll continue doing it.
That's right, yes.
Okay? I'll continue doing it. We'll work with people and let the Word of God heal and let the Word of God show them what's just and right and how that God made them to be, because God has thoughts of peace towards them. We now live in a society that young girls between the ages of 18 and 24, one out of four of them, when they are polled, say that they have already crossed the lines.
One out of four. Just stand in the Walmart parking lot, count the young girls coming out between the ages 18 and 24. One quarter of them have already crossed those lines. Millennials recently, when they asked them what their sexual orientation were, less than 50% of them identified themselves as heterosexual in a national poll. Okay? Do you think that's made people happy? Do you think lives are better now? We're probably getting rid of all the antidepressants now with that. See, that's going to make people happier. Homes won't break anymore. People won't commit suicide anymore. They're all going to be... No! There's more people taking antidepressants and suicide and miserable and awful and their lives destroyed. And I don't love those people. I don't hate them. I would God they could know the freedom in Christ Jesus that I have found.
Yes.
I would God they could know the deliverance and the wholesome life. My wife and I have lived as pigs in this world. I met her, she was living on the streets, I lived on the streets. We know the agony that life can cause. But we also know what Jesus Christ can do in healing and come in and give people a life and grace and a home. And that's God's mind. He said, I think thoughts of peace towards you. This is what I want.
Yes.
This is my desire for you. And there's nothing happier for me.
Yes, thank you.
Than to see a home transform into that. I told somebody recently, I said, you will never get rid of the pain of your youth. You're going to learn to live with it. You're going to learn other things to supplant them. You're going to learn to put the pain of your youth in a certain place and have it there. And God will use the pain of your youth. And God will use the pain of those things. And God will use those and make you into the man, the woman, or whatever you're supposed to be. God will do that. There's no pill. I don't have a verse in the Word of God that will get rid of those old things. Okay? But I have verses in the Word of God that show you how to live with them and live an overcoming, a victorious life, a joyful life, a peaceful life, a happy life.
Right.
A life with love. Love. Some of you, do you remember when no one loved you? Tiffany to this day says no one loves her. Okay? I'd like to think that in this church there's people that love her, but we haven't known her long enough to even say that sincerely. I want to.
Yes. That's right.
I want to. What an awful thing. What a terrible thing.
come over, buddy, and we do love you.
What an awful thing.
And yet, we have some that have found love here and learned to love their own families, learned to love themselves, learned to love God, and learned something better. And that's what it's all about. It's not to turn you into tin soldiers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wrap this up. Pastor Hayne, you can be coming up. It's easy to pastor with Pastor Hayne because his desire is exactly the same.
That's right.
But once in a while, our methods might clash a little, and the man's got enough sense after 50 years in the ministry to defer to mine, and it doesn't make mine right. Okay? He's got enough sense. Okay? I would to God that every person here could have the freedom in Christ Jesus that I have, healing in Christ that I have. Would to God every man. But when we teach the things of morality in the Word of God, we're not trying to put a straitjacket on you. We're trying to take the straitjacket off. Give you hope, give you love, give you a good life.
Amen. Pastor Hayne?
Would remind you that while we're singing this song, only the servants of the church.